W4HI for a signal check. W4HI.
Hi, this is N0TR. My name is Tom, located in Greer. Your signal is about as perfect as it can be. Full quiet.
Tom, I think you said Tom. I know we've spoken before. Yeah, I'm on a set of headsets, and I just kind of wanted to see. I hear you very well, and that's the first time I've used them in a long time, over.
I use mine about every night, but on HF, not on 2 meters. And I forgot your name. I just come in from outside and sit down here and heard your melodious voice, and it's just about as perfect as you can get.
Whiskey 4 Hotel India, Bruce, B-R-U-C-E, down here in Seneca. And yeah, it's a Howe headset. I just haven't used it in a long while. Over.
Well, that's what I got, and I really like them. I had to replace the muffs on them the other day. These are their Pro 7s, and they're really proud of those.
I didn't get the word that you said. I mean, to understand it, but I know I just opened them up, and the foam inside the headset was just falling apart, so I just took it off and blew everything out and then put them just a cup stack on. Over.
I was saying that they're real proud of those muffs on there. I can't remember now, but I thought that was about $30.
Whole item. Not just the foam, I guess. I guess the foam's integral with the cups, right?
And you go by Ed, you say, I hope, well, you can correct me on that, because I see it's Bruce Ed. It's got a real thin plastic film on these, and then the foam underneath of it, so you had to replace the whole thing that I assume you did. That black plastic on there just went to pot on me.
An older version, because it just had foam, just like the inside of regular headphones, that foam, it does deteriorate over time, but it just fell apart. There was no film, no black film on mine, but I guess they work. Good. Well, thank you very much. I guess you were working outside. It's a little breezy out there, but a good day to do something anyway. Over.
Well, I just went out and picked up the eggs and checked on the girls and seeing if everything, if they had feed and water. And I had a limb cut down yesterday, and the fellow that did it, he had pulled my RG8X out of the way out by the line isolator so that that limb wouldn't catch it as it come down. And he stretched it pretty tight. I was kind of concerned with it, so I took some binoculars and looked up there at the ballon, and it's on my Carolina Windham. And boy, they did a good job and reasonably priced, and took a tree down out front that's only good for filling my gutters, and it just was a real pain every year, and I'm 74 years old, and I don't like climbing up on that roof very well anymore. This is N0TR.
N0TRW4HI. Now, I go by Bruce, and I use Ed on HF because it's a little bit easier for people to understand. But, yeah, very good. Well, that's, if you said reasonable, that's great, because taking down a tree is, you know, especially if they're close to the house, it's kind of an expensive thing. You know, they got to limit and then take it down in pieces and of course, haul it away and make money on firewood. Over.
Excuse me. Bruce, I've got a bad cold. Yeah, you're quite correct. Yeah, I would say reasonable with respect to other folks. This was a maple tree out front, and we don't have any of those anywhere else. We just got great big oak and hickory trees and things like that out back. But the maple tree out front, it just filled the gutters with leaves every year, and it really didn't provide us hardly any shade, and we got a front porch. So they were going to climb it. Well, I told them, I said, it comes up about 10 feet, then it turns into a lot of little limbs. And every time it blew, I'd get a bunch of little limbs all across the yard. Well, we have fescue, and it stays green all winter. So I got to be out there picking up them stupid sticks, too. And I just finally told them to take it out. And they cleaned up the yard. I was worried about them tearing up the fescue, but they didn't. And they just left a pile of all the chips right there where the tree was. And they come in there with a stump shear, you know, and chewed that stump out. And then he went out back and he climbed that big oak tree and went up there and cut that limb off that was near my ballon. So I was very happy with them. They didn't tear up anything, and they cleaned up after themselves and did a good job. So I can't complain.
Well, that's fantastic, actually. You're right. It's a lot of work. And we just built a house, had a house built, and we've been in it about, getting on 4 months, 5 months almost now. But before we cut that, once we bought the lot, it was fully foliaged with trees and just bunches of junk stuff, really, because it must have been clear-cutted, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. So we just had them take everything out. So there's nothing within 30 feet of the house, and most of it, there's nothing within 70 feet of the house. So but we do have a barren yard in the back. We did not seed it or anything. Well, we seeded it in July, and no matter how much I tried to water it, nothing came up. So we're going to do a reseed it this spring, and hopefully, I'm thinking about putting clover in, or a mix of clover and fescue, and because I've heard some really good things about clover. We don't use our yard. We don't have little kids or anything. But we did a lot of work on the house, but it's looking good. It really is, over.
I like the looks of your location there. This was when you were moving in, of course, and I'm looking at on QRZN, and that's about like ours is, but it was just timber. I mean, thick timber out back, so I had 13 trees taken out back there, and it was back when things were more reasonable because the building industry was really at a down point back then about 13 years ago, and now I have a nice place for my antenna field. I got a super loop up and a Carolina Wyndham and 160 meter vertical. They're wire antennas, and they work quite well, and enjoy them, although there hasn't been a tremendous amount of DX on, cause migrating to the computer FT8s and FT4s and so on. Do that, I just do Morse code and single sideband, and really enjoy it. I love having the timber out back. I go down there quite often, got a picnic table down there. It's just 1.2 acres, but it's really nice, and we've done a lot to the house, and the wife and I are getting up in age and just trying to enjoy our retirement now, Bruce.
Apologize. I know you said your name in the beginning, and I should know it because I hear you a lot. I do a lot of listening, but I do get on a net at night. I mean, it's the most incredible 2-meter net I know in the country by far for participation in longevity. I mean, it is amazing. And I have been in a few parts of the country for work and living with my wife. So, again, 2-meter 440 activity here in the upstate is, to me, some of the best in the country. So, well, listen, I'm going to sign with you here. I'm going to get a signal report from my wife now, and we'll talk with you soon again. And it'll be great listening to you. And like I said, we cleared it all the way around the house. All there is a few weeds, but we did sod the front yard, so, yep, that makes it look nice. But having that waterworks in our backyard is really why we chose this lot, and besides it, it was very cheap for almost 2 acres, so it was good at this time, but it was a lot of money to clear it, that's for sure. 73W4HI, clear after your final.
Well, the pleasure's all mine, sir. I love your call sign. That's great. And mine is my initials, N0TR. We were in Kansas till 13 years ago. And so it's Tom Rouse. And then so Tom's what I go by. And Bruce, it's been a pleasure this morning. I'm just sitting here watching Gunsmoke. And I thought I'd come over here and see if anything was on HF. And I don't see a whole lot yet, but there will be. So, take care. Have a good day, Bruce. W4HI, N0TR, 73.
Thanks so much for the contact. I appreciate it. This works pretty good. Just got to clean up the little bit of mess I made in finding the equipment and bringing it out. 73W4HI, Tom.
And Bruce, I might add, I concur with your findings on the repeater, and there's a great amount of very fine people on there. And ours up in Kansas was waning and going away, and less and less operators. But down here, it's just first class, and the folks that maintain it are first class, and really enjoy it. So take care. And it before HI and 0TR clip.
Major and 4DJC.
Afternoon, Jerry. I'm just sitting here watching the rerun of Gunsmoke and eating some M&M's with peanuts. And I think I'll go upstairs in a little while and have some cottage cheese and tomatoes or something like that for a snack before supper time, which we only eat two meals. Had some egg and bacon and toast this morning. It's been a good morning. Been out a little bit. My cold is still not good, but leastwise I got a Z-Pack yesterday, and I think that's going to get rid of it. It's pretty nice out there. I'm showing 58 degrees in the sun, and the chickens seemed happy. And I went out and checked my antenna where they took a limb down there yesterday. And just tickled to death to get that thing out of there. It worried me. I was afraid it was going to knock the ballon out where it was at, but it never did. And it's been up there quite a few years. And it's a long antenna, 265 feet. But we still got our colds. I think Bernice might be a little bit worse than me, but slowly but surely getting better. How's your day going, Jared?
Good time. Excuse me, I got a little huskiness still. I had to take my antihistamine yet. I got to take it nasal antihistamine here in a few minutes. That'll clear some of that up anyway. But now I got out about 7:30 this morning. It was pretty chilly, and ran to get a couple of eggs and came back in. And Lynn just left a little bit ago. She's headed to. She's already in Malden now, Greenville. And they're headed to Biltmore about 2 o'clock today. She and our daughter and our two grandkids, they're going up there overnight, so they're going to have a good time. They have a candlelight deal up there for Christmas time where they light the house up and have a candlelight tour on the inside at night. So they haven't done that yet, so that's going to be something new for them. But anyway, the weather's going to be good. It's not going to be cold up there, but it's not going to have any bad weather, which is in years, some years past, they've had snow up there. But thankfully, it's going to be, so like it's going to be clear and cold.
Bringing me a Sprite over, and we got sidetracked there from it. Jerry, where are they going up at Biltmore?
So up there, generally, it's been kind of, COVID kind of knocked it off for a time or two up there, and I think they might have gone last year, but I think this is the first year they've been, probably in a couple of years. But my daughter has a season pass up there. She's she did a Centerfold Chronicles. A bit more a few years ago, they gave her a, she gets a yearly pass as a friend of the family up there, so she just gets free to get in, but all the other stuff is not free. It's expensive as all get out, as you well know, but it's kind of a yearly trip for them, her and the man and the daughter and the two grandkids. They like going up there. This is kind of a opening of the holiday season.
Got a lot of history. It's beautiful. I've seen shows on it. Daughter had some tickets one time that somebody gave her years ago, and we didn't take advantage of it. I kind of wish we had, but I think it was cold weather, wasn't it, Bernice? It was raining, not very good weather, so we passed on it. Somebody gave her the tickets. But that's one we haven't been through, but oh, I'll tell you, when we went over to Vienna and Germany there when the daughter was in school, and we went through that new Schwanstein castle, I think it was in Austria. It's like the one at Disneyland. I think it's going to have to go a long ways to beat that, but everyone has their own personality, and I loved Vienna because I was a musician, part-time, and loved all the old-time composers and that, Beethoven and Mozart. Mozart was my favorite. And so we visited places where they had lived. But it's just unimaginable what some of the more affluent folks have done with their places. And the Biltmore is one of those. It's N0TR.
Time. It's not that it was really elegant, excuse me, for his time, but and they maintained it. The family still owns it. They maintained it, and the property is really nice in the spring and summer, early summer when the flowers are blooming. They got some wonderful gardens there. It's like that sort of thing you like photography. There's a good bit of wildlife up there. They generally see a bear or two every time they go up there. It's one of those things, there's a lot of walking, a lot of climbing stairs, that sort of thing. And the last time I went, I said, well, if I've seen it at Christmas time, and seen it in the springtime, so that's it for me. I wasn't planning on going back again, because it does change. But it's kind of an interesting history, and it's one of those things that if you're able to go, go. If you're not, you're not really going to miss out on anything. It's not a must-see type of thing in the U.S., the southeastern U.S. It, as I said, a lot of people go and at Christmas time and in the spring, summer when the flowers blow. That's really the only two times you go. The rest of the time it's elegant inside. And it's got a lot of history, and they have tours where you can, you have headphones on that tells you what each room is and who designed the furniture and that sort of thing. It's a magnificent piece of architecture. But during the summertime, it's not well air conditioned, and then the stairs are killers.
Sir Roger, that don't surprise me. It's so dang big; it'd cost you a bloody fortune to have to air condition a place like that. But I'll tell you what, Jerry, after driving up there to Cherokee Casino there earlier this year, I don't care if I ever go back up that way until they get that construction done. It's just too tight for me. I don't care to be entrapped between those barriers on the side, you know. Excuse me. But, we'll get up there some of these days, I guess, if I like to go up there with the family. Well, let me drop this. I put up a couple more of those motion lights, and I just left them battery operated. They just used 3 pin light cells, and they hang up there with Velcro. And I put one over by the canned goods on shelves or on the other side of the stairs in the basement, and I put one up above the hot water tank. And I'm looking over there now. I don't know if that one stayed on that Velcro or not. I might have to go up there and anchor that with a screw. But they had them at Aldi's the other day for $7 a piece. Man, those things are bright. They got about 10 or 12 LEDs in them, you know. And you can set them for 30 seconds or 60 seconds. And then double back tape or Velcro. Or you can actually use, they had some plastic anchors in there, but I just used some metal screws because this is a suspended ceiling.
Yeah, they're pretty light too, I'm sure. But yeah, I'm going to have to put up some more stuff here maybe this spring. Maybe do this, you know, this winter sometime when I'm not doing anything. We're still clearing out some stuff. We got a lot more to clear out. And if we clear out, we'll start doing a little more sprucing up of the house. And just get rid of furniture that we don't need anymore. And stuff from Lynn's parents' house. And I still got some stuff from my mother's house that we've got to go through. And we've gone through most of it. But yeah, when somebody lives in a house almost 60 years, they just accumulate a lot of things. And we just have to go through each box to make sure we're not throwing away something important. Most of the time, it's just sentimental things. But I'm not a big, I mean, some of that stuff I enjoy, and some of it is just, it's one of those things, Tom, where if you don't use it in 6 or 8 months or a year, we need to get rid of it. It's just, otherwise you'll accumulate as much stuff that you can't get rid of it.
Went on to any Colt Pythons or, you know, Frontiers and 22 single actions or maybe some Ithaca SKBs or something, let me know. I'll give you a couple $100.
My father-in-law was a Ruger guy, so we got a few Rugers from him, and that was about it. My dad, yeah, all he ever had was a 20-gauge, you know, 20-gauge bolt-action shotgun he got sometime after the war. I guess it was you know, Sears. I don't know if it was Ted Williams, and I've been, must have been a Sears, some of his old Stevens, I think. And the 12-gauge versions of those were dangerous to shoot, and they recalled all those and told people to give them X amount of dollars if they'd send them the bolts, because the bolts would shear off, but the 20s are safe to shoot, and I still got it. And, just knick-knacks like that, nothing very impressive, just average stuff, average person would have. But my father wasn't a hunter. He was just, he just liked some things, and yeah, he liked single actions. He had a couple of those, and like I said, you know, 10-22, and I can't remember what else he had. He had one of those old Stoker Lookers, you know, the 22, look, cheap zinc thing. He had one of those things. He's more of a plinker than anything. And nothing worthy of getting an evaluation on.
Reminds me, I haven't cleaned that side-by-side yet. I need to do that. I was just pulling your leg. Oh, I'm trying to listen to something on 12 meters here, and it's not coming through strong enough yet. But, yeah, Western Field made those, too, and then Western Auto had some. And I only ever shot one of those, Jerry. You know, like, they took my shoulder off, and a gunsmith told me that the reason for that is the stock design. And they were pretty plain Jane stocks, I'll tell you for sure. I haven't seen too many of them bolt action ones, this N0TR.
My dad got the bolt action, yeah, that's just what he was accustomed to for the Army, I guess. And he had, 22 rifles and stuff like that when he was a kid, but, you know, he was raised during he graduated from high school in 1927, I think, so. You know, they came up during hard times, and they might have had, you know, one rifle between the five of them or something like that, maybe. But he always liked the squirrel hunt, so he got that 20-gauge, and like I said, it's got a walnut stock on it. It's just plain, about as plain as you can get. I can tell you one thing, that thing does kick now, even a 20-gauge. The stock's just, the butt pad not very thick, and the buzzer stock is real thin, too, on top of that. I know when I first started shooting it when I was a teenager, it was a Punisher.
Right. Yeah, there's no doubt those son of a guns would really kick the snot out of you. Oh, shoot, Jerry. Every time I laugh, I call. Well, I enjoyed talking to W4HI this morning. I talked to him before. His name's Bruce. And I just come in from going out and kind of walking around the yard, and I went out and looked where they cut that tree down out front, and they did a good job. And the mulch is still there, and we need to haul that back to the back 40 back there, you might say. But the thing of it is, that cold, and even though it's 58 degrees out there in the sun right now, there's about a 4 to 12 mile an hour wind out of the southwest. Excuse me. We just don't need to be out there in that, so I think we'll put it off. One day next week, I think it's supposed to get up to 61, they said, so look forward to that. They said maybe even a little bit of rain around Thanksgiving.
Go anywhere, so we're not too concerned about that. Weather probably doesn't snow. But that stuff will be waiting for you when it warms up, Tom. It ain't going anywhere. We still got mulch. We finally dug ours up out here where we had the mulch sitting in, where they ground the stuff and put some field dirt in. And it's starting to look a little better now. Of course, now now it rains, the grass is dying off. So one of those catch-22 situations, I suppose. But hopefully it'll warm up a little bit. This year's a beautiful day today. I think it's going to be a little cooler tomorrow, Monday, but hopefully we'll have some pretty decent weather for folks that are traveling. Well, I'm going to jump out of here. I heard you talking to Bruce just a little earlier, and I wanted to jump in and say hello. Hope you and Bernice get to feeling better. Stay inside. You know, ain't other than feeding the chickens, ain't nothing out there that can't wait. Talk to you later, Tom. N0TRN4DJC, clear after you.
N0TR, N4DJC. Okay, Jerry. Well, great hearing you this morning, and you give me some ideas there. I'll go get my cleaning stuff out. I've got a little electrical project here I'm working on now, and I bought three of those motion lights. I might put the other one up there where Bernice fell the other day. Only she fell over her own feet. She didn't trip on anything. But, I might put one there anyways. I'm a morning when there isn't a lot of light coming in the windows. It's a little dark there, but not bad. I got a red LED over there on an old porcelain base, you know, it's only 6 or 8 watts, so no big deal. Jerry, you have a good day. I've just been sitting here enjoying some Sprite to keep me from hacking. And I had a little better night last night, but I was still up probably 3, 4, 5 times during the night. It seemed like when you lay back and you got a chest cold, well, that's not a good thing. Probably ought to come down here. I looked at the DX last night in the middle of the night and was tempted, but there wasn't anything on there. I haven't seen 160 meters hardly open up at all, so... And I don't use sideband on it, so anyways, didn't see anything on there. Two or three stations, Europeans, contacting Europeans. Bernice put me a brand new zipper in my hoodie today, a great big heavy-duty one, and boy, she did a beautiful job on that. And so I was happy about that. I like to keep one upstairs for the truck and one down here for the car. So, been good to take care. 73 is Jerry. Have a nice day. N4DJC and 0TR clear.
4DJC. Hello, Jerry. KA3JC8.